Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis 40. I've titled the message, Forgotten and Alone, but God is Moving. There's a pine tree in Yellowstone National Park called a lodgepole pine. They have pine cones that can hang on the tree for years, but they never open even if they fall to the ground. The only way to open them is to bring them into contact with intense heat. God made it this way because when there's a forest fire, these lodgepole cones are opened and they're the first trees to grow. In the same way, God will use different things in our lives to produce a character that is more after His own character. We have in the story of Jonah, most of you know that story, Jonah and his disobedience. I mean, God used things to accomplish His purpose in Jonah's life. Instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah does what? He goes to Tarshish. And so God sends a storm, and He threatens the ship that Jonah is on. And you know, it's just interesting to me how God works things out in our lives. The captain brings Jonah up, and just as they're casting lots, coincidentally, the lot falls on Jonah. You think it was coincidence? God knew what He was doing. It fell on Jonah. God prepares this great fish, and the fish is sitting there, I'm sure, at the side of the boat with his mouth open, just waiting for God to have these guys throw Jonah overboard. And the fish, of course, swallows him up and the sea becomes calm. Then there was the fast-growing vine. When Jonah came in, he told Nineveh, look, repent or God's going to destroy it. And he goes, sits up on a hill under this little vine. And he's waiting for God to send fire and destroy all the people. Well, God prepares this worm to attack the vine. And then there's this scorching wind that came from the desert. All these things happening in Jonah's life. And it shows us that God will use big things and He'll use small things. All in the life of the disobedient prophet just to build his character. Everything that you and I will go through, God will use to build our character. Well, the difference between Jonah and Joseph, Joseph wasn't fighting God's will. Jonah was. Joseph was in total and complete surrender to God. He was open to whatever God wanted to accomplish in and through him. We've been studying the life of Joseph. And we saw last time as he came under temptation. We saw how Joseph was able to handle and deal with it because he was trusting in God. We know he was falsely accused of attempted rape. We know that he was thrown in prison. And you know what? Tonight, my heart really goes out to those of you that might be suffering. Maybe tonight someone has wronged you. Maybe tonight you're being mistreated. And now you're suffering for it. I mean, I can go down the list. Husbands mistreating wives. Wives mistreating husbands. There are spouses that won't speak to one another for days. And when they want something from their spouse, they actually have their children go and speak to them. We have parents mistreating children. Child abuse today mounts in the millions. And you know what, man? We have parent and elderly abuses. Children abuse their parents and their grandparents. We have employers and employees taking advantage of each other, cheating on times, cheating on benefits. And you know what makes this so hard to swallow is that we believe in a God who cares. We're Christians. So why would God, who is omniscient, why would He allow this to happen to me? Well, let me ask a question back. Why wouldn't He allow it to happen to you? God can do whatever He wants to do. I mean, you know, we get this mentality that, you know, you would think if you do what is right, you'd be blessed. And if you do what is wrong, you will suffer for it. But listen to what God says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, the way Joseph is being treated was for no apparent reason, but here's the key. Here's what I want you guys to focus on tonight. The way he responded to what he was going through showed very clearly that he was a spiritual man. By the way, he's dealing with these things. You see, our response will determine if we are really spiritual or if we're carnal, if we're operating and functioning in the flesh. Either we'll be bitter or we'll become better. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Here's the key. "For I know whom I have believed." I know where my faith is, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day, man. Until that day. You know what? You got to keep pressing forward. Man, if I gave up the first time a trial went my way, I wouldn't be here. I would have been long gone, man, or went through suffering or persecution or falsely accused or whatever the case might be. Jesus said in John 15:25, "But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Without a cause. Man, if they killed the prophets, if they killed Jesus, how much more? I mean, are they going to treat you and say things about you and falsely accuse you and come against you and want to take your life? How much more? Tonight, I want to focus on three areas of our faith that I see here in chapter 40. The first area I see with your faith is discouragement. Notice verse 1. "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt," the Pharaoh, "offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with the two officers of his, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then it came to pass after these things," what things? Well, chapter 39, Joseph being accused of raping Potiphar's wife and Potiphar throwing Joseph into prison. Genesis 39, verses 20 to 23 says, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not even look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with Joseph, and whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper." I love that. You see, what we're reading here is a testimony of a man who made a commitment to God to stand for him regardless of what came against him. That's tough, man. That's tough. My first thing with God is to get mad at God. "Oh, this is the way you're going to be, God? Here I'm trying to live for you, and now you're going to, now I got this court date, now I'm losing this, now my wife's doing this to me, and she wants a kid. I can't see the kids now." I mean, let me tell you something, man. I've learned this. The closer you try to get to the Lord, not only will he draw near to you, but the enemy's going to come against you with the gates of hell, man, to try to stagger your faith. to try to move you out of that place where God is trying to get you. You see, Potiphar was an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh. He was the captain of the bodyguard and was probably in charge of the official executions. And this guy was no man to mess with. He was no man to mess with. He could have easily had Joseph killed, executed, easily. But you know what? I'm going to share something with you tonight. I'm going to give you some food for thought. I can't support this scripturally. So you can think about this, pray about it, spit it out, do whatever you want to do, swallow it, whatever you want to do. This is what I personally believe as I look at this here. I believe that because Potiphar knew his wife, I believe he knew Joseph was innocent. I truly believe that, man. But because of his wife and the pressure she placed on him, Potiphar really had no choice but to throw Joseph in prison. You know what he was actually doing? Saving face. He was saving face. I mean, she's the one that said, hey, this guy you brought in here tried to rape me. Look, here's his coat. And he ran out of the house. And I believe Potiphar knew his wife was a manizer. See, womanizer, manizer, I don't know. You know, but I believe he knew his wife. You see, from the human point of view, it appears that not only is Joseph abandoned by man, but he's abandoned by God. What if you were accused, falsely accused of rape and thrown in the joint? How would you feel, man? God, where are you? What's going on, God? Why this? I know one thing. One day Joseph is going to look back on this experience. Notice what he says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, he's talking to his brothers now, who sold him off as a slave, remember? To the Ishmaelites. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me. But notice Joseph's perspective here, and this is what I want you to see tonight. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. You know, now I would have thought, for me, if this was Rick in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, I would have said, God, you know, I have a better way I could have achieved this for you. You know, did I have to spend time in the slammer and be accused of raping, you know, this dude's old lady? I mean, come on, man, I got a better idea here. But you see, God was building character in Joseph's life. That's what he's doing with each one of us here. He's trying to build character in our lives. You know what? He wants us to trust him. Not 90%, not 99.9%, 100%, man. Guys, I know my next breath is in his hands. When it's time for him to call us home, that's it. You ain't sticking around any longer. You're out of here. Vámonos para la casa, man. We'll be going home real fast. Think about this. Sickness, loss of job, losing your home, losing your family, or even a flat tire. God is in control, man. He's not only in control, he's using all these events for his glory. And listen to me, guys. He's using them for our good. You see, he brings beauty out of ashes. God knows how to turn things around. The butler here literally was a cupbearer. His job was to make sure that Pharaoh wouldn't drink anything that had poison in it. Can you imagine that kind of a job? You know, here the king, the Pharaoh, he's got enemies. People want to take him out. And here they're bringing the wine in. And here's the cupbearer. He's got to drink and taste it. And Pharaoh's sitting there watching him. Everybody's watching him to see if he's going to drop or if he's going to stand. Can you imagine that? And after he's standing for 3 minutes, Pharaoh goes, all right, thanks, man. You know, it was a high position. The cupbearer would be someone who could be trusted. And you know what? He was always at the leader's side. He was always with the king. He was always there. That meant the cupbearer would have an awesome amount of power. He'd have a lot of power because he had access to the king. He could speak to the king anytime, 24/7, because he was always next to the king. It could be either really good or it could be really bad. He could actually die of poison, or he could actually eat what the king was eating and live like the king. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, it'd be like Russian roulette, where you got five chambers in that pistol and you just stick one round in there and then pull the trigger and take a chance that you're not going to get shot and killed. That's what it would be to me tasting this with all the enemies that the king had. You see, the baker was the one that prepared the food for the king. He also had to be a man whom Pharaoh trusted. He had to be a trusted man. Now, we're not told why these guys, what they did, but somehow they offended the king. Now, I don't know. Maybe they spilled his iced latte. They burned his apple Dutch pie. You know, I don't know what it was. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But we read here the king was offended. That word angry here from the Hebrew translation actually means to burst out in rage. Pharaoh was heated, man. He was hot. And he threw these guys both in the prison. We get some interesting insight in Psalms 105, verses 17 to 22. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house, speaking of Pharaoh, and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. You know what I love about that? Joseph is going to go from prison to the palace, second under the most powerful man in the known world of that time. Why? Because he trusted in God. Joseph remained faithful to the Lord regardless of what he went through. Man, we could all give testimonies of where we've been and locked up and should have overdosed and, you know, had guns stuck in our faces and, you know, maybe a bad car accident we should have died in, whatever the case is. We could give testimonies as we look back. Many of us weren't Christians then, but yet we see God's hand was on our lives even then, man. You see, God's building character in you. If the Lord tarries, each one of you are going to blow your minds with what he is going to do with you in the years to come. Some of you are going to be pastors. Some of you are going to be pastors' wives. Some of you, I don't know, you know, you could be president. I'll vote for you. You don't know what God's going to do, but he's molding you. He's shaping you right now. Think about this. I mean, this just hit me. It's pretty heavy. When we accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior, the scripture says in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said he'd send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us until he takes us home to be with him? Think about this a minute. That Holy Spirit has the very nature and character of God, the creator of the universe. Guys, that's living in us. The more we let that character out, the more we become like Jesus. And the more you become like Jesus, yeah, you're going to get hammered. Yeah, you're going to get hit. Yeah, you are going to go through trial after trial after trial. But I'm here to tell you, man, the blessings far outweigh the trials. And the tighter you get with the Lord, when you get hit with something, you're going to be able to endure it because you've already got a track record of years of watching God help you through the things you've already been through. See, we need to realize tonight, God often puts suffering people together. How many of you know that? People that suffer. Every time I'm going through something, there is always another brother or another sister that I find out is going through something worse than what I'm going through. And I'm thinking, what an idiot, man. What am I tripping over? Look what they're going through. You know, God seems to put suffering people together. He did tonight for a Bible study. Here we are. We're all suffering in one sense or another. Well, here were three men all together. And you know what? We see the Lord working. We see the Lord working here. Two officials that have an in with the king, and they're now in prison with Joseph. Huh. What a coincidence. Not. It's called the providence of God. God is orchestrating the events of life, not only for your good, but for his glory. He knows exactly where we are right now. And you know what? If he can trust us where he has us now, and we stay faithful with him, if you're faithful in the little things, the scripture says what? He'll give you the greater things. Amen? Amen? But I've also learned too, especially in ministry, you have to learn how to follow before you can lead. You got to learn to be a servant, man, to serve others. You know, when someone comes to me and says, hey, Rick, I want to be a leader. I want to be an elder or a deacon. You know, I want to be an overseer. You know what you're telling me? Rick, I want to be a servant. I want to serve the people here at CCA. I want to be a servant. That's what I am. I'm a servant. I need to lead by example, you know, as a pastor. And it's very humbling. It's extremely humbling for me. We meet people on the job. We meet people on vacation. We meet them out there on the streets. We meet them in church. And man, I'm telling you, it's all a part of God's plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now, some believe these two guys, the butler and the baker, the cupbearer, could have possibly been in prison, locked up for as long as 10 years. 10 years, man. Here Joseph was 17 when he was sold as a slave, and he's going to be 30 years old when he is exalted to the throne. About 2 years after the interpretation of these two dreams that we're going to read here in a minute. You see, one, the first area of faith is when you go through discouragement. Usually when you go through a time of discouragement, maybe you're discouraged tonight. My second point here of faith is opportunity. When you're discouraged, the last thing you're looking for is an opportunity to share the gospel or to be a witness of Jesus. Why? I'm discouraged. I don't want to do anything. Notice this here in verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Look at, who's he pointing to here? Joseph could be ticked. He could be fried out of his mind. And he could just say, hey, you know what, man? Dreams? It's what got me in this mess. I don't want to hear about dreams, you know? But look what he says, man. Even in prison, he says, look, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler, the cupbearer here, told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now, notice what he does here. But remember me. Remember Joseph? remember me. Get me out of this stinking house. Look what he says. But remember me when it's well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the baskets on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Thank you very much, Joseph. What a blessing. Faith and opportunity. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little in the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better to have almost nothing, man, but to have a fear of the Lord than to have everything you want and have the trouble that comes along with it. I want to point out four things about Joseph's mistreatment here. Number one, Joseph knew that the sufferings were being used by God to mold his character. He knew that. You see, that's why James chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, when I first read that, I just came out of a real bad drug and alcohol background. Alcoholic drug addict. Cocaine addict, man. When I first read that, when I first started reading through the Bible, I thought, this dude's doing dope. Count it joy when you go through. How many of you are, oh yeah, I want another trial, man. Is there anybody in here like that? I was going to say, you out of your mind, man. I thought, what's he talking about here? Well, think about this. That word count, in its translation from the original Greek into our English, it comes as an accounting term meaning to evaluate. You know what he's saying? Take an honest assessment of the figures here. Honest assessment. It's looking at what you're going through from a heavenly, or if you will, a spiritual perspective that's producing something of value. Okay, God, what are you doing through this? What are you showing me through this that is of heavenly value? Instead of looking at it and just getting uptight, man. God wants us to respond with our minds and not our emotions. Did you guys hear me? He wants us to respond with our minds. Think this out now before you freak. And before you do something stupid, think this out in your mind. Don't go off of your emotions. But how many of you know that's not what our flesh wants to do? We want to do something right now. You see, our values determine our evaluation. Our values determine our evaluation. If I'm living for character or for comfort, my trials will upset me. If all of life is just to cruise and enjoy being comfy and cozy, man, I am here to tell you, you are in for a heck of a ride. You're in for a tough ride. But if tonight you're living for character, then you know what? You're going to go through your trials with joy, knowing that it's a good thing. It's a good thing because God is the one that's doing it. He's the one that's taking you through this thing. Here's the point. If I value the life that just cruises, that has no bumps in the road, that has no hardships, nothing ever going wrong, I'm going to be one miserable person. I'm going to be miserable, man. You see, I've learned in all these years that God can and does use bad things for good. He turns it around. How many of you know God is a God of reconciliation? God is a God of restoration. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. You know, we don't know what that thief did on that cross. That was there. He could have raped kids, man. He could have killed people. He could have did the most hideous things all his life. But he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Well, you know what? Ask the guards, let you down, get baptized first. Come on, man. What did he say? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise, man. God knows men's hearts. He looks at the heart. We look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Let me give you a case scenario here. Say you're on the freeway. You're in your car. You know you're going to be late. The air conditioning's broke. You got your windows down. It's 115 degrees out. You're sitting there. You're sweating. You're tired. You're in a traffic jam. And then in front of you, you happen to notice on the bumper of this guy's car, this bumper sticker that says, smile, have a nice day. Think peace. Don't worry. Be happy. You're thinking to yourself, yeah, I'll have a nice day after I run you over. I mean, but that's the way we are. You see, James isn't saying enjoy your trials. You know what he's saying? He's saying just thoroughly enjoy yourself. One thing we lack as Christians, or don't lack rather, is emotion. Every one of us get emotional. The town smart aleck walked into the blacksmith shop shortly after the blacksmith had thrown a horseshoe on the ground so it could cool. Seeing it there, the young fellow reached down, picked it up, but instantly cast it aside as it burned his fingers. The blacksmith said, kind of hot, isn't it, son? The brash kid said, not too hot. It just doesn't take me too long to look at a horseshoe. Isn't that the way we are, though? We won't admit to it. Yeah, I just fried my fingers. You know, I didn't know that was hot. Emotions. What does Hebrews 12:11 say? Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, we go through trials every day. And as Christians, when we go through these trials, we see in time as God works it out. We freak out. We stress out. We worry about it. But then we see God work it out. And we look back and it trains us so that next time the trial comes, we can be easy on it and trust God in it, knowing God's going to take care of this. He did it in the past, man. He's going to do it again. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You see, as we anticipate the years to come, I can promise you'll have some real doozies to look forward to. I just thought I'd bless you with that. You're going to go through it, man. Trials and hardship, it's going to come whether you live for comfort or character. And the testings are going to come in different forms. James 1:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance, man, so you can make it. The second thing about Joseph's mistreatment, I like this. Joseph could shine brighter for God. I mean, look at the guy's witness here. It's incredible. Genesis 39:3, it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. You know, I want you guys to remember something. Don't ever forget this. When you are in a trial, people are watching you. People are watching you, man. They know you're a Christian. They hear you say, man, you know what? God's in control. He's going to take care of this. But they're watching you go, you know, biting your nails and, you know, tapping out your Visa card and calling the bank and, they're watching you. The third thing about Joseph's mistreatment, Joseph knew that God was with him. He knew God was with him, man. What did Jesus tell us, Christians? I will never leave you or forsake you even to the end of this age. He's there. He's there with us. In Genesis chapter 39, just in that chapter, four times, Four times it says the Lord was with him. You know what? Potiphar saw it. That's why I believe he didn't kill Joseph. And because God wasn't going to about to let him, because God had a plan with Joseph. And also the jailer saw it too. The guy ran the jail. Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison did not even look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I love that, man. You become a man and a woman of character, godly character. Watch and see what God begins to do. I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow you totally away. The fourth thing about Joseph's mistreatment, this is the kicker. This is the hard one. And I think every one of us in this room can just about bear witness to this one. Joseph was mistreated by a friend that he once helped. He was mistreated by a friend he once helped. You see, Joseph wasn't only an observant man, he was a very compassionate man. And so notice what he does here. He asks a question, why is your face sad? Or literally in its translation, why is your face so bad? These guys were in anguish, man. They were in anguish. I mean, these actually could have been the first words out of Joseph's mouth after his arrest. Here's what really ministers to me. Think about this. Here's a man that's hurting. His family gave him up. He has no family. He got falsely accused of trying to rape this bodyguard of Pharaoh's wife, Potiphar, the chief of the guards. Here he is in prison. He's hurting. He's lonely. He's forgotten. He's all by himself. And what does he do? He starts reaching out to others, man, in spite of his hurting. You see, when you're discouraged, the last thing you're looking for is an opportunity that God might open to you. But if in your discouragement you are looking for opportunities to be used by God, God will use you. It seems like sometimes we get so consumed in our problems that we tend to forget one little minor detail. There's others around us that are hurting. But I want to let you in on a little secret, and I believe this is biblical. If we will only become a servant to others, listen to what I'm going to say, church. God just might step in and take care of that mistreating of us. I mean, Joseph could have said, what? Dreams? Oy vey. I'm up to hearing with dreams, man. I don't want to hear another thing about dreams. La, 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 la. I mean, he could just really freaked out. But notice the witness for the Lord in prison. He gave God the glory. Hey, you know what? Doesn't God interpret dreams? He pointed to God. Are you ready to witness for the Lord wherever he places you? What if he was to throw you in the slammer? What if you were falsely accused? What if somebody said something about you and you got thrown in jail over it? Would you be bitter or would you be better over it? Could you witness for the Lord, or would you be so ticked you'd have nothing to do with God? I mean, first, look at the dream of the butler or the baker here. Now, some commentators say that Joseph was wrong here. They say that he should have taken it to God and not man. Well, you know what? Joseph did take it to God. But how many of you know there's also what we call human responsibility? There's our part in this thing too. Remember when Paul was being accused by the Jews and they wanted to take him back to Jerusalem? Paul could have said, okay, well, God, that must be your will. I'll go to Jerusalem. But, you know, I know what's going to happen there. What did Paul the apostle do? Human responsibility. He says, I appeal to Caesar. I'm a Roman citizen. I want to go before Caesar. You see, you got to have a balance. Yeah, you have to do what God wants you to do, but there's also your part in this too. You have to do your part in this too. Even though Joseph was human, even though he was putting his faith in God, he was also open to God working through man, putting it in God's hands. Then we have the dream of the baker. Again, I'm sure the baker was really, really blessed. Yeah, I'm sure he was just ready to have a party himself. What a blessed interpretation. He was probably hoping that one was from Satan, you know, and wasn't from God. But you know, this is another thing I love about Joseph. Even though Joseph was a compassionate and loving man, check this out. The guy had the guts and the boldness to speak the truth to what God had showed him to this baker. He laid it online, just told him, man. He didn't sugarcoat it. He goes, well, you know, I'm really sorry to say this, but no. He just said, here's the interpretation. You know, you're going to get hanged. It's going to cost you your life. I mean, it was a drag, but that's the way it is. Three areas of our faith. Discouragement. If you're discouraged and you keep your eyes open for an opportunity that God might use you in, then what will happen through that opportunity is our third area, and we'll close with this, and that is encouragement. Look at verse 20. It says, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And here's the sad one. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. God's word came to pass. This was the fulfillment of God's word through Joseph. And you know what it did? When Joseph saw these two guys, the one hung and the other one replaced, just like God showed him, you know what it did? It encouraged him. It encouraged him that God is faithful. This is what I mean. When you're discouraged, look for an opportunity to share Jesus Christ or to help somebody for the Lord. And you know what? When you see God's hand on that opportunity, you'll be encouraged in spite of your circumstances and where you're at. The cupbearer suffered from a lack of gratitude. He wasn't thankful for what Joseph had done for him. You know what happened here? I'm going to tell you. He allowed the cares of the world to choke out the memory of the goodness of the Lord to him. The cares of the world. Here he was in prison. While he was in prison, he's screaming for help. He gets put back to the second man next to Pharaoh. He's got his little mansion back again. He's got all of his possessions and everything. And guess what happened? I'm back where I should be. Yeah, man. Yeah. Pharaoh, you got the parties tonight for your birthday, baby? Come on. He forgot about Joseph and what God had just done for him. You see, here's a great truth I'm going to leave with you tonight. God never forgets you. God never forgets you. Genesis 8:1. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Again, Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42, that thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here was a man that had been forgotten. Here was a man that was an outcast of society. He was judged by the criminal system. He was a sinner. Jesus wouldn't forget him. Guys, I'm telling you, man, today you'll be with me in paradise, he told the thief. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. I want to close with three ways to get over being mistreated. Maybe you've been mistreated. Number one, are you guys ready for this? Stop trusting people. People aren't God, man. If you're putting your faith and trust in people, I'm here to tell you, they're going to let you down. God will never let you down. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 7, thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. When you're trusting in man, your heart is departing from your trust in God. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Man, we know exactly what that is, huh? And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Quit trusting people. Secondly, when people let you down, turn to the love and the faithfulness of the Lord. The scripture says when we're faithless, he remains faithful. And you know what? Our love can waver. His never wavers. I don't care if we fall, if we stumble. I don't care what happens. He still loves. God still loves us the same, man, every one of us. Any one of you here in this room, if you were the only one on this earth, God would love you so much, he would still send his son to die for you. Man, that's how much he cares for us. Because God looks at the heart. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The third way to get over being mistreated, this is the tough one. Learn to wait on God. Learn to wait on God. Do not move until you have 100% peace in your life that this is exactly what God wants you to do. Don't move. Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31. Most of you know this scripture. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A.W. Tozer said, what we need very badly these days is a company of Christians who are prepared to trust God as completely now as they know they must do at the last day. For each of us, the time is coming when we shall have nothing but God. Health, wealth, friends, hiding places, they'll all be swept away and we shall have only God. To the man of pseudo faith, false faith, that is a terrifying thought, but to those who have real faith, it's one of the most comforting thoughts the heart can entertain.